Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. We're glad you could worship with us today. Today is Veterans Day, but not only is it Veterans Day, it is a very special Veterans Day.
In 2018, we commemorate the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. At 11 a.m. on November the 11th, 1918, the guns fell silent, and the armistice marked the end of the world's first global war. This came after 4 years of intense fighting. Young men, with their lives ahead of them, sent into muddy and bloody trenches. Women experiencing the tragic physical and mental effects of warfare in hospitals at home and on the front line. Families without fathers, brothers, and sons. No corner of the country left unaffected by loss. But those 4 years were also a time of great courage, when pioneers found unique solutions to wartime necessities, creating items such as the teabag, wristwatch, and first aid kit. When women stepped up to pursue new roles in support of the war effort. These were the faces of World War I. These are our ancestors.
And so today, to honor that 100th anniversary of the end of World War I and those who sacrificed so much and gave their lives, at 11 o'clock today, during the second worship service, we're going to stop whatever we're doing, and we're going to have a moment of silence, and we're going to join with other churches in Charles City, and we're going to ring our bell 21 times in memory of them and that celebration. So that means a lot. But for now, let's begin with the Litany for Veterans, which is printed in the bulletin. I ask you to take that out and join me. On this day, we remember those who have served in our armed forces. Prince of Peace, even as we pray for an end to war, healer of all, bind up the wounds of all who have served.
Show us how to comfort those who are hurting.
Merciful God, all suffer the cost of war. We pray, gracious God, that swords will be turned into plowshares and that peace will reign. Amen. Now I'd like to ask, please, if you are a veteran, would you please stand up? Don't be shy. All right, let's stand, greet one another, and please go and say thank you to those veterans. And you can remain standing as we sing our gathering hymn number 707 in the hymnal, 707. there's something different in here this morning besides my haircut. Did you notice what it was? That's right. On Tuesday, Building and Grounds Board took out the front pew here and the front pew here to make more room for communion, Clavinova, kids, choir, etc. Okay? Did you realize that? So I was a little bit worried. Okay? I was a little bit worried that it would start a chain reaction of everybody having to move back and having to sit in somebody else's pew. And we all know how Lutherans feel about somebody else sitting in their pew. Susan and I even considered bringing bag chairs to sit here so to keep people from fighting. But it looks like you worked it out. Good job. Congratulations. Just know that wherever you're sitting, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Please pray with me the prayer of the day printed in the bulletin. O God, you show forth your almighty power chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace. Strengthen our trust in your promises and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And you may be seated.
Our first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." As Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as I have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jug of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jug of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Here ends our reading.
I invite the children to come forward and join me for the children's message. Hello. You notice my bowl here, huh?
Yes. Yeah. I noticed something in it.
You did?
Yes.
What did you think is in my bowl?
Candy.
You think so?
I know.
You know? What's in it?
Gum.
You think it's gum? Well, you are very perceptive because this is my Halloween candy bowl. Okay, so I got so much candy for Halloween. Did you guys get a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have any candy left?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you have a lot of candy left. So do you have a bunch of candy? Well, that's great. So are you eating all of the candy by yourself, or did you share any of your candy? Did you share? Who did you share with?
My mom and dad.
You shared it with your mom and dad. Well, did they ask your permission to take it? Yeah, good. Okay. Anybody else? Who did you share your candy with?
My dad.
Your dad? Anybody else? Who did you share yours with? Your mom. Okay, raise your hand if you shared your candy. Wow. You guys are great. Good. So let me ask you, did you give them the good candy, the kind you like, or did you give them like the kind you don't like? You gave them the kind you don't like? You gave them Milky Ways. You like that. What about you guys? You give the ones you don't like to your mom and dad. Well, it's nice of mom and dad to take care of that for you. Okay, so I decided that I should share my candy with you today. Okay? Is that all right? Yeah, you're not going to argue with me? Okay. All right, I'm going to open up my candy bowl.
I knew it.
Uh-oh. That's all that's left. That's it. And you know what? It's my favorite kind, too. And I was saving this for the end so I could have it for myself. I don't know. What am I gonna do? We could each have one? Do you think there's an, I don't know. Well, okay. You know, this is actually just like the story that Kiki just read about a guy named Elijah, and he went to visit a woman, And he asked her for food, and she said, "Oh, I don't have very much. I have just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I was saving it for my son and for me, and I was going to make a little bit of food for us. There's not enough for you." And Elijah said, "Don't worry. Trust God. Even though it's just a little bit, it will be okay." And so she trusted, and she made a little bit for Elijah, and there was still enough for herself and her son, and everything turned out great. She gave what little she had, but God made it okay. I was thinking about you guys, because this month, I read in the bulletin, is food month. And we're asking all of the kids to bring food for the food pantry. Did you know that? Yeah, it's food. So you guys, you're kids, right? You don't have a lot of money, do you? You do have a lot of money? $20? Wow, you're rich. You have a lot of money in your piggy bank? Well, that's cool. Well, then you should have no problem. You're saving it to go to Disney World. That is so sweet. That is so, I hope you make it. But you know, I was just thinking, if by chance you're a kid and you don't have very much money, that's okay, because it doesn't take very much. Like, just a can of green beans is not very much. If it's on sale, it's less than a dollar. Or a can of soup, that's not very much. Or a box of macaroni and cheese. I bet even a kid has enough money to buy one or two of these things to bring in, and a little bit can go a long ways, and God can help use it to feed hungry people. So what do you say? Do you think that we can share this little bit? You think it's going to be okay? So how many do you think you should have a piece?
One.
You think? Tell you what, I think you can each have two, because I'm so generous. Okay, here you go. Here's two for you, and two for you, and two for you, and two for you. Don't go away. And two for you, and two for you, and two for you. Uh-oh. There's only one. Oh, there's only one. We ran out. Olivia! Thank you! Wow, look at that. God took care of us. And now we have enough for everyone. Two for you and two for you. Don't worry, I won't forget you. Two for you. Two for you. Here you go. Two for you. Did you get some? Okay. All right. Everybody got some? Look at that. We still have extras left over. God is so good. Okay. Everybody bow your heads, fold your hands, and repeat after me, whole congregation. Dear God, help me to trust you and share what I have, even when it doesn't seem like very much. Amen. Thanks, guys, for coming up. Remember the story, and remember to bring food to help hungry people. Let's stand for the gospel acclamation. The Holy Gospel for today is written in the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And you may be seated. When I was a kid, growing up in our family, there were just two kids. It was just me and my sister. Okay, so if I wanted to play a game, if we wanted to play a game, and mom and dad were busy and we couldn't have any friends over, we were stuck with each other. My sister and I had to play with each other. Well, I mean, there was the Beagle, but she wasn't very good at board games. Not that we didn't try. Okay. But my sister and I never agreed on what game to play. I always wanted to play Battleship, but my sister always wanted to play...
It's here! My mystery day!
Mystery day! Are you ready for your mystery day? Don't be late, it would be great. Open the door for your mystery day.
It's Mystery Date, the thrilling new Milton Bradley game of romance and mystery that's just for you.
Just for me? I don't think so. I wanted to play Battleship, like the brother and sister on the cover. But my sister always wanted to play Mystery Date. And so we compromised and played Mystery Date. Because she was older and she was bigger than I was, right? So over and over again, I played Mystery Date with my sister. Now, why did I do that? It was because I was such a good brother that I just wanted my sister to be happy. No, absolutely not. Was it because I was so competitive that I was going to beat her at whatever it was, even if it was Mystery Date? Nope, not at all. Didn't care. Was it because if I didn't play Mystery Date, she wouldn't play at all, and then I would be bored? Yep, that was pretty much it. I just wanted her attention. Now, if you played Mystery Date, you might recall that basically you go around a board and you draw cards, and every once in a while you have to turn the knob on the door and open it, and if your date is a dream, then you're still in the game. But if it's a dud, then you're out of the game. So I always like to play the martyr, and I would make a big scene about, okay, fine, we'll do what you want to do. Like I was making this huge sacrifice. But see, here's the thing. My sister didn't know that after having played Mystery Date so many times, I had become like a safe cracker on that little doorknob there, and I could feel where the creases were in the cards, and I knew exactly where the dud was. So at any time I wanted to, I could open the door on the dud, and the game would be over. But I almost never did it. I almost never did it. I made a big show of what a big sacrifice I was making for my sister, but really, I was just doing it to get the attention that I wanted for myself. Right? I was pretending to make this big sacrifice, but I was just doing it for me, for the attention. I was just like the scribes in our gospel lesson today. Jesus taught, beware, don't be fooled by the scribes. They pretend like they're making a big sacrifice, but they're really not. Don't be fooled by appearances. Now, back in Jesus' day, it was believed that women were unable to handle their own finances, much like many wives feel about their husbands today, right? When a woman became a widow, she had to go to the temple and she had to turn over her estate. She had to turn over everything she had to the scribes, and the scribes would manage it for her and give her what they thought that she needed. And in the process, of course, they would help themselves to plenty of the widow's estate too, getting quite wealthy in themselves. And then they would go to the temple, and out of the widow's estates, they would put in these huge offerings. But the widow would have just 2 coins to put in, because that's all they gave her to live on. When Jesus saw this going on, he pointed out to the people that she is making a sacrifice, and he praised her. Even though her gift was small, she was making a huge sacrifice because it was all that they had given her to live on, and also pointing out that the scribes were hypocrites, pretending to make a sacrifice, but not doing it at all. Jesus said, "Don't be fooled by appearances."
Like every week, but would you like to ride to church with me? Oh, come on, Mrs. Edwards, you like my church. We have some hot music. It may not be what you're bumping at all, but it's hot. We get down. What do you say, Mrs. Edwards?
I suppose.
I've heard it said that 80% of first-time church visitors come because someone personally invited them. All people need to feel loved and wanted, and for some people, it just takes having someone offer to give them a ride to church. We have something great going on at this church. People's lives are being transformed by God's love. Your homework this week is to find at least one person who could use a little more of that love and invite them to come with you next week. Trust me, it's worth the extra effort.
Mrs. Edwards, you want to listen to some music on the way? Go ahead, your choice. Okay, here we are.
Don't be fooled by appearances. The holy person isn't the one who looks the holiest. The holy person is the one who makes a sacrifice. And sometimes a small gift or a simple invitation can be a big sacrifice. I mean, look at our lessons for today. The widow of Zarephath, all she had to give was a little bit of meal and oil, a small amount of food. The other widow, all she had to give was 2 little coins, and yet those 2 gifts were big sacrifices. They were the holy people. They were big sacrifices that showed big love and big trust in God. Sacrifice equals love. Jesus doesn't want us to put on a show and look holy. He just wants us to be willing to make a sacrifice.
My name is Jay. A few weeks ago, I was shopping with my mom. Normally, that would be really boring, but that day was special. I had saved up to get the coolest toy I had seen in the store. My birthday wasn't for a few weeks, but I couldn't wait. That was on Monday, the day before we had learned in church about how that lady gave Elijah all the food she had and how God provided for her. I knew that our church was giving a lot of money to help some people who were really in need. My mom was asking me which toy I wanted when I stopped her and said, "I don't want to pick one. I need to get to church." Mom just said, "Okay," and away we went. When we got to the church and went up to the office, I asked the lady for an envelope. I put all the money that I saved for the toy into the envelope and gave it to the lady. I told her it was all I had and it needed to go to the people in need. We left the church and went home. I thought about the toy at the store, and even though I really wanted it, I knew I didn't need it. My birthday is coming up, and so maybe I'll still get it for my birthday. But if I don't, that's okay, because I'm trusting God to take care of me no matter what. And that feels pretty good.
If I were to have you take out a sheet of paper right now and make a list of all the things that you love, what would you put on that list? Just mentally, what would you put on your list? These are the things I love. Now imagine I asked you to take out another sheet of paper, and on this sheet of paper, I want you to write down the things that you would sacrifice for. What would you sacrifice for? What would be on that list? Do you notice any similarities between your lists? They're pretty much the same list, aren't they? Right? Because what we love are the things that we're willing to sacrifice for. This is my great uncle Lester on the farm near Clarksville, and he's my godfather. We were a lot alike. He had a great sense of humor, though his jokes were a lot funnier than mine. And Lester was also a veteran. Here he is on home from leave in his Navy uniform. I do not think that's the same cat, by the way. Lester was a World War II veteran. He was in the Navy, and he was there on D-Day. He was one of the people that drove one of the landing crafts onto the beach, taking soldiers onto the beach as they were under fire from the enemy. Many of those soldiers got off the landing craft and died immediately, and Lester was there that day bringing them ashore. Shortly after that experience, he wrote a letter to his brother, who is my grandfather. And that letter ended up getting published in the Clarksville newspaper. And Lester said, "Our ship was the first in enemy waters. It led the convoy. I was just off the beach at H hour, and the sights I saw there will never leave me." Shortly after H hour, I was on the beach. I guess I haven't told you anything that wasn't in the papers, so I think the censor will let it through. I came through it okay, but was a little shaky and nervous just after I got back, but I slept it off. I feel okay now, with the exception that my nerves are still jumpy at times. Well, I hope you are all well. Lyle, that's my dad, must be quite a boy by now. Can't imagine him running all over. Good night now. Write soon. Love from Lester. As I read that and know what happened and read between the lines and imagine all that Lester went through in that experience that he couldn't talk about. He never talked about that when he got home, but when I read this, I realize that it truly was love from Lester. I see in this letter how much he loved his family, how much he loved his country, because of how much he was willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice equals love. Now, a sacrificial check to the church and a sacrificial invitation aren't the same kind of sacrifice as what Lester and other veterans gave, but still, it's the same principle. The things that we love are the things that we're willing to sacrifice for. They are the same list. So the question is God on your list? And just so you know, you have always been on his list. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing our next hymn, number 679. And please join me as we proclaim together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus, by the example of your loving sacrifice for us, turn us from our hypocrisy and our self-centeredness to be your love in action. Lord, in your mercy. We pray your blessing, Lord, on Dean and Doris Taibbi as they celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary, and all couples. Lord, strengthen them and give them grace in their life together. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for all in need, especially we remember today Jackie Reams, Paul Veen, Roger Jacobs, Matthew Selvig, James Merrifield, Dwayne Ortmeyer, Marietta Sylvester, Kathy Michael, Valeska Bailey, Steve Boozman, Kathleen Hines, Donna Patton, Wendell Patton, Lester King and Helga King, Ron Venz. We ask that you would lift up the family of Doris Fenholt at her death. We pray for people of California grieving after a tragic shooting and a fire. Lord, protect and support the women and men who serve in the armed forces and their families. We pray especially today for Alex Binger, Robson Shanklin, and Kim Hall. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those others who are on our hearts as we name them before you now, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering. We'll sing our offering hymn number 692. please join me as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to say thank you to Dean and Doris Tabey for the altar flowers today. Where are you, Dean and Doris? Back here. Happy 60th anniversary. Congratulations. Is today actually your anniversary? It is? Next week. Okay. All right. I was wondering if you actually got married on Veterans Day. That's a whole lot of sacrifice all in one day, so it's good. So, well, congratulations. I also want to say thank you to Paul and Yolanda Van Ostall for the radio broadcast today in honor of veterans. We have adult Sunday school right now in the parish hall. Norm Bauer is going to be teaching the last of his series of Christian caregiving, so come and join us for that. Even if you haven't been to the other ones, you will get a lot out of just coming for this one. The youth are doing their Give Thanks dinner today, so after the second service, just come. It's a free meal. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to bring anything. They just want to say thank you for all of your support. They really appreciate it. There are tons of stuff going on. Make sure you look at the bulletin. So many opportunities to be God's love in action. We're looking for drivers to sign up for Meals on Wheels the week of Thanksgiving. So if you could help us out, that would be great. And don't forget, next Sunday there will be a congregational meeting at 9 o'clock to vote on the proposed capital fund drive for a new sound and video system. So there are no absentee ballots, okay? So you must be present to vote, okay? So, and we're not expecting a recount, okay? But if we have to, we will. Right, Gloria? Right, okay. May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. And we sing our sending hymn number 888. In peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.